pad 36, and you could, it was unmanned flights, it was unmanned Atlas rockets, but this was what was in the blockhouse, and they started it about 40 years ago, and about three is what was in the blockhouse at pad for the Atlas rocket, the pad 36. And you could, it was unmanned flights, it was unmanned Atlas rockets, but this was what was in the blockhouse, and they started it about 40 years ago, and about 3 years ago they decided they were not going to use it anymore, and they were just going to tear it down. And that picture on the wall up there is what it looked like in the blockhouse. So we decided, well, we would take this stuff out, and all of this stuff is real stuff. It came out of the blockhouse, and we brought it in here so we can show it off. And I've got it hooked up now so that the kids can come in here and flip any switch they want. Now, you see that switch over there beside you, off the down near the floor?
Yes.
Flip that switch.
This one?
Yeah, and watch. See it? Everything died. Now flip that back up again, and now it comes back. And this is what was in the firing room. So we brought it in here so anybody could come in and play with any button they want. We have one that makes noise, just one. And I'll show you what that is. See, I got one that's emergency control. I imagine you could hear that.
Sure think so. I believe there's been one change made to these since they were originally made.
Yeah, the major change is what kind of switch can we keep? See, these switches are like this are ones that you can just flip. But you could bump those and that could cause a problem. But if it was a serious thing, you didn't want that switch to just flip. You wanted to pull it out and then flip it. Now watch all the lights. See?
They've gone out.
So that's a master. And each one of these panels, the bottom left-hand corner, has a master switch in it. Like this one right here, watch all the lights. See there?
Yes. Everything's gone dead.
Yeah, but you can do it with this. With the individual ones, you can control it, see? Mm-hmm. But if it's not a critical circuit, you can use this kind of switch where you can just flip it. You don't have to pull it out.
Yeah, makes it quicker to react as well, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Right.
So could you run us around the different panels and tell us what they're for?
Well, this one right here, see right there, says liquid oxygen tanking of the first stage. The big Saturn rocket had a big, it used oxygen and it used oxygen and then propellant, good stuff in
kerosene.
It.
Kerosene.
Yeah. Yes. And so this is the oxygen that you're putting in there is what you're governing here. This one, we had some solid rocket boosters on the top, so you could use this panel for that. This panel was used for make sure that we had a separation system that you could make sure that things could separate, and that's what this panel's for.
Why the word inadvertent there? Why the word inadvertent, separation destruct system?
If it came loose before you didn't want it, you could destroy it. And all of these, some of these, this is just, we took these out of a blockhouse. You see that picture? That's what was in the blockhouse.
Yes, we've got a picture of a whole lot of people sitting at control panels.
We hauled them off and kind of brought them in. This is all the room we had to put them together, so it's not necessarily the same orientation that it was in the firing room.
And over here we see Centaur flight termination system.
Right, that's the one that tells you how you could stop the flight if you wanted to by controlling the receivers and also what you did for some of the other flight control systems, the way the engine was oriented.
And the power system for the Atlas rocket?
The Atlas rocket was the big rocket at the bottom. See that model over there?
Yes.
that the bottom part is the Atlas rocket, and then the upper stage, we had some other stages that had rockets and a particular kind of payload up there.
And many of the vehicles, that was the Centaur, wasn't it?
Right.
And our next panel I see is the Centaur vehicle power.
Some of it is, yeah. They'll tell you right on the top what it is. See, this is the first stage where you run the pressure up for all the hydrogen and, you didn't have hydrogen, you had kerosene and oxygen in the first stage. And they tell you what it is, labeled a little bit on the top.
Now,
Centaur was the upper stage thing, you see.
I notice it says Atlas pressurization. I believe the Atlas was so thin, at least the early ones, so thin that if they weren't pressurized, they'd collapse under their own weight.
That's correct. There was less, you know how thick a dime is? The pressure, the skin on the Atlas rocket was thinner than a dime. And if you didn't keep it at about 5 pounds per square inch, it couldn't even support its own weight, much less the weight of the fuel.
And yet it can take all the stresses of a launch.
Right. It had to. You have questions?
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
All right. Well, thank you.
We've got a lot of other stuff around here now. See, this room is unmanned flights. Mm-hmm. All the other rooms pretty much are associated with manned space flight.
Well, perhaps we could wander into one of those rooms and discuss what's there.
All right. Okay, we can do that. Just shove that chair anywhere. This is where the test conductor sat right here. See,
the boss.
See? And you could see.
Very nice.
But then if he got started, just say, all right, now see the clock's counting down to where it needs to be at zero. But then... See, well, now we've got all them systems, we can look at them. See, turn that back on. See, did it all work? And watch. It's all red, nothing worked.
So that was the test conductor's console.
Right, he sat right in the firing room. See, that's the picture inside the firing room there. They were going to tear it all down, throw it away. So we brought this part over here. This is real stuff. But now this room, in 1975, we flew a mission called ASTP, Apollo Soyuz Test Program, where we launched an Apollo rocket and the Russians launched the Soyuz rocket, and they each had spacecraft on them, and they docked those two spacecraft. In 1977, we found out those two cosmonauts were down visiting Key West, so we went down there to see them, and we had a good time talking to them. And when they got back to Russia, they sent us all of this stuff. This is all Russian stuff.
Perhaps you could describe some of its porous.
Well, like, see this good book here? I would tell you to read it, but I bet you don't read Russian.
Unfortunately not.
Printed in Russian.
Yes, I have some friends who do, but no, I don't.
But all of this equipment and everything is all Russian stuff, including the pictures that are taken and everything is all, and it came from that flight.
I see we've got a poster here of the Lunokhod spacecraft, the Lunar Rover.
But it wasn't manned or anything, no. See. Any manned vehicle, U.S. is the only one that sent anything to the moon. Now, that was one of the things we had in here. Now, over here, my son-in-law, who lives 9 houses down the street, married my second daughter, he works for the KSC Fire Department. I told him, we didn't have the fire department this place. He said, well, let me see what I can do. So he took him about 10 days, and he put all of that together, and he brought it in here. But I got to look, and I was the head of the shuttle program. So I said, all right, we do take pictures of launches. Now, you see this picture? I said, I want to get all of your crew together. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, that's an armored tank. And those guys are supposed to be inside that armored tank. If it had blown up right there, it would have killed every one of them. I said, now, this camera is an automatic camera that takes the picture. There's nobody standing out there to take that picture. I said, you guys are supposed to be inside that tank. I said, now the next launch, if you're not inside that tank, you are fired.
If not dead.
There it is.
That's still got the back open.
Yeah.
That's still got the back open.
So we could tell they were there.
Yeah. Okay. The yellow model down here is basically that vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah. See, it's an armored tank. There's a photograph of it.
And you've got a full range of fire appliances that a city fire would have.
Yeah, we sure do. Anything we can think of we need, we've got. Now, how do you like that picture there? That's all varying rockets. They're all drawn to exactly the same scale. Every one of them is 300 times as big as that picture.
Mm-hmm. So we've got the Saturn V, the Russian N1, and right down to the very small military rockets, Pershings and Athenas.
You see, it's hard to even read it up there, so small. But manned space flight, as far as the U.S. is concerned, we flew, there's a Mercury Redstone. We flew that. We flew a Mercury Atlas. We flew a Gemini Titan. And then we started flying Apollos. And then we went to the shuttle. Now, the Russians built that one right there, that shuttle.
Yeah, that's Buran.
They launched it unmanned. It flew two revolutions around the Earth and landed, and they put it in a museum. They didn't do the Earth what we did. We have flown ours now. This flight up right now is 131st mission.
I used to joke that the Buran, it means in Russian, snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I thought if it exploded, there'd be a snowstorm of white tiles.
It sure would. Now, we got other stuff in here that I can show you at some of the other rooms now.
Yes, please, Sam.
And if you get this room right in here, the early days of manned space flight, that one and that one are Project Mercury, which was our first manned program that carried people up. These two are the Gemini program, which had two people in the spacecraft. Mm-hmm. And in that room in there, right across the hall from you, is for the Apollo, which had three astronauts in it.
Down here we see the EKG chart. Mm-hmm. Could you explain what that is, please?
The EKG is just something that you could measure the respiration rates of which way people were breathing and everything and how their heart was pumping. And this particular one is really interesting, and it's signed by Tom Stafford, and Tom was here last week and I got him to sign it.
It's really good. And over here we have a part of an actual capsule.
That is a patch off of the very first Project Mercury spacecraft. Here's a picture of the launch. And an Atlas rocket, didn't have the escape rocket or anything. It lasted 55 seconds, and the whole rocket blew up. That was in July of 1960. About a year and a half ago, we found that hatch in a junkyard in Rockledge, which is about a few miles down the road here. And that was a year and a half ago. It is, nobody knew what they had in the junkyard, but the guy that found it was part of the launch crew, and he brought it in here. It is made out of titanium and Rene 43, so it doesn't rust or corrode.
And that metal is pretty tough, and yet this is just torn to shreds.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing blew up. But the Atlas rocket is a big rocket, see? Now, this book right here, there's the launch of the one I'm telling you about. This is just some pictures that I managed to collect, and we stashed them in a book here so that you can go through and look at them, you know. There's a Redstone, and that's Gus Grissom right there. And that's me and Gus, and then there's Alan Shepard as he was getting picked up. So the book's got a lot of interesting stuff in it if you want to see it.
Okay, perhaps we go into the Apollo room.
Okay.
What am I doing here? I'm going to have to tie my shoe. Now,
see this right here? Mm-hmm. It says, the Gemini and Apollo. This is kind of what they ate.
Chicken and gravy.
See, they ate that, and that's how they got rid of it.
Yes, we're laughing. It says Gemini Apollo fecal containment bag.
Which means how you go to the bathroom. Now, we've got a lot, all of this stuff in here is kind of the Apollo program oriented. And you see this on the wall up here? That's the path that it followed. If you wanted to go in orbit around the Earth, you have to go 17,300 miles an hour. That balances you with gravity. But that don't mean much to most people. Really, it's 5 miles a second. That balances you with gravity. But if you want to go to the moon, you got to overcome gravity. So you have to get up to 7 miles a second to make the trip. And as you can see right here, as you start going out, you separate the Apollo spacecraft, turn it around, and come back and dock with the lunar module and pull the lunar module out, and that's the way you go to the moon.
You got some artwork here.
Yeah. That
is that original? Now,
that picture was painted before Complex 39 was built. That was what they wanted it to look like, and it does look exactly like that now.
So it's the equivalent of an architect's concept.
Right.
I noticed you got a lot of medallions and things here.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff to show off now. How do you like these? See, pictures in space now? See, pictures. Something on the moon. Some of the crew getting ready. There's a guy standing on the moon. This book was written up by Buzz Aldrin, who was one of the guys to step on the moon. Mm-hmm. But the problem with this book is when I bring it down here to show it off, I make everybody realize that's not a bathroom.
Yes, it looks a bit like a toilet pan. Now, on the wall here, we have some spacesuits and some the
backpacks that you carried your breathing stuff and everything in.
Have these actually flown in space, or were they?
Some of them have, some of them have not. We you know, we've got many, many of them, and every now and then, if we get one, we show off. We try to bring it in here. And I've got another room in here now.
Yep. Okay, we'll go in there.
This room is primarily for the shuttle flight. You know, the shuttle. That was our latest program. In fact, these models right here, that's what the launch pad still looks like, because it's where we launch still from the shuttle. And this model right here, where it says "please touch,"
that's unusual. It says "please don't touch."
And this one says "please touch" because. Watch it light the light over there. See that? This is the mechanism that you use to drive this thing. The driver was mounted in that little compartment right there. That vehicle weighs 6 million pounds, and it goes 2 miles an hour. And I said, what do you mean 2 miles an hour? You got 8,000 horsepower. He said, you ever tried to stop 6 million pounds? And what you do, you drive this underneath that, pick that up. That weighs 9.5 million pounds, and you haul that 3.5 miles out to the pad. And then you lower that down on this little post and drive this out, and that's there for launch.
Must have some pretty good hydraulics to lift up the whole shuttle and its launch pad.
Well, look at this engine. This one is 2,750 horsepower. There's another one just like it on the other end. And this is 1,075 and another 1,075. It took that kind of power. You didn't get very good gas mileage on this thing. It's about 40 gallons a mile, I think.
I believe the treads of the Caterpillar tracks were about a ton each.
They're a little bit more than that now. They're 2,200 pounds. Okay. And in fact, you see this with my thumb out about that much. That's that piece right behind him over there. And that only weighs 350 pounds.
Okay, we've got a triangular piece of metal. Let's try. Oh, yes. Ouch. I've just knocked my knuckles on it.
Yeah, you see the size of those things. Let me see. There's a... I had some pictures. Oh, here's a picture. I can get this damn string out of it. See that man?
Yes.
Now, he's 6 feet tall. And what that is just standing right beside one of these tracks.
Yeah, we're right... He's standing inside the Caterpillar tracks, and they're at least half a meter above him.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And that's...
Okay. Now, we've got some other artifacts here. What's this thing I'm looking at here?
What that is the mechanism. See, right here's how to... When you got ready to put that rocket on the pad, you see this mechanism right here? That's what it sat down on. And this was the thing it sat on, but when it lifted off, it pulled that piece out. Mm-hmm. And so we put it down here, so it was very carefully done, because you couldn't let the rocket hang up in there.
It's pretty heavy, too.
And that one
I'm
only,
pushing it, it's not even
it
moving.
Only weighs 137 pounds, but you can move it.
Yes. So it's a cylinder with
right.
a dome.
And
light.
It sat right on the pad. It sat right in here. And
it's
that's,
right at the
that
base
one
of the
stayed
solid rocket
there, and it launched and it pulled the stuff out.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the pistons that's in the big engines you saw over there. There's only 16 of those per engine.
Well, and that's at least 25 centimeters across.
Right. It's brilliant. A, you know, it had, and it's run by diesel power, and we generate an electrical system to run the motors in these crawler transporters.
All right. And on the wall here, we've got some clothing.
Basic. Now, that shows you how smart our people are. You see that blue suit? They put a blue background behind it.
Yes. Could you tell us a bit about it?
That's one of the uniforms that you wear when you're flying inside the pressurized compartment. You don't have to keep it as a pressure suit or anything. You can go around and walk around with it. And there's some of the shorter pieces over there. And this is another version of it that you could use to go around. Uniforms, but to get outside, you had to have a pressured uniform like that. See?
Yes. Okay, so we could go over there and look at this spacesuit.
Yeah. And you see, this is a where you keep it pressurized, because when you go out in beyond what the Earth's vacuum is, you're in a vacuum. So you got to have this, or you can't breathe.
Is this an actual spacesuit, or
yes? It wasn't one of the ones that was particularly flown, but all of them are very similar to this. You never can tell what we're going to have in here. Like, I retired in very late 1985. And when I retired, I was the head of the shuttle program. Some of the guys found out what I was doing. So somebody said, oh, we got something for you. So they brought this in. See, right here it says, Pappy Light Strobe presented to Sam Bedingfield. That's me. And the PAPI is Precision Approach Path Indicator Light.
Right.
So when we land on the shuttle runway, it was very important to know what your glide path was. Because when you're going to land an orbiter, you turn around and fire the thing backwards on the other side of Australia an hour and 4 minutes prior to touchdown here in the U.S. And this gives you the signal of what you need to do.
It's flashing strobe light.
Yes. So that could tell you what you're looking for. And they gave it to me because I was head of the shuttle program, and I'd always given them a hard time. They said, no, you got to know.
I notice up in the display cabinet here, we've got a whole range of rockets, very much like the ones you showed us in the poster before. But over here is X-24A, U.S. Air Force, little space plane.
That's what they flew out at Edwards Air Force Base in California. See, it doesn't have any wings on it. You want to see if you could fly something that didn't have wings.
Called a lifting body, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. We flew three different kinds like that out there. But now, how do you like these Pepsi-Cola cans? See, you take Pepsi-Cola to you in space, but you're at zero G. So when you open up that, it just goes, foams all over. But if you put that little plastic thing on the top, it won't foam. You could use it to drink.
Yes. And they flew that on the space shuttle.
Right.
In 1985, July, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we flew it several of them.
And what does the caption here say?
That says, the world's smallest rocket motor, mass-produced by McDonnell Douglas.
No, it's meaning the can, actually.
Oh, the can, Pepsi-Cola, that's what it says, the can. And it says, Pepsi-Cola celebrates our first flight in space.
And it adds?
It adds one giant sip for mankind.
Okay.
Now, how do you like that model right there now?
Oh, that's Alan Shepard. You tell the story.
Alan Shepard.
Yes.
Well, he came out and he flew the very first Mercury, but then he got kind of sick, so he wouldn't let him fly anymore for a while. And then he flew one of the manned flights to the moon. And when he got on the moon, he wanted to show everybody he was still in good shape. So he took his golf club with him, and he hit golf balls while he was on the moon. And that's what that represents, him standing on the moon hitting the golf balls. And he said, I know I did bring them back because I hit them so far I couldn't find them.
Yes, it'd be interesting when people finally revisit the Apollo 14 landing site to see how far those golf balls really
that's
went.
That's right. You could go measure that probably. Now, here's another thing. This is a three-dimensional picture. If you look at it just right, it will become something so you can really see. You see a spacecraft, a shuttle right in there, and a planet right there. I have a hard time seeing it. And this is a model of the way we do the shuttle. If you want to take it anywhere except here, you fly it in the Earth orbit or you land it in California and bring it back on top of a 747 airliner. And that's, we have this kind of stand built here and there's one built out in California. Mm-hmm. And you pick the orbiter up, drive the 747 under there, lower it down, and you fly it back. See this picture right here? That's how you fly it back.
Yes. Many of our listeners will have seen the pictures of the Boeing 747 shuttle carrier aircraft with the shuttle on its back and that little thing. See,
that's a T-38 fighter, and it's this size. This side, that shows you the size of it. See?
It looks a little bit like those tiny fish that accompany sharks.
Right. Kind of. Okay.
Well, thank you for joining us on the space show. Oh, perhaps one thing over here. You've got a model of the International Space Station.
That's the space station, right. You see how big that is. Mm.
Have you been able to go over there and see some of the elements of it being prepared?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of it was made here in the U.S., but a lot of it was made in foreign countries, too. But to get it put up there, you have to bring it over here so we can put it on a rocket that you can launch so that it can dock with it. So all of that stuff was made here on the Earth, but some of it was made in other countries, but it was brought here to be launched.
Well, thank you for joining us on the space show, Sam.
Yeah. Glad to do it. Hope you come back to see us. We're open every day, Monday through Saturday.